Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
And hello, good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to listen. Okay, so this should be a very interesting show. We have Dave Scott, who is the host of another show here on the BTR network, Spaced Out Radio Show. It's on at usually, I think, almost every night at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's a very, very good show. I mean, they have great guests on there. Just really interesting. It's a two-hour show. You guys should check it out if you can. So Dave Scott, you might as well call him Mr. X as well, because he's something of a mysterioso figure. He's had some amazing, he's got some amazing stories of what has happened to him, including meeting the Angel of Death, a close encounter of the third kind with aliens, and a run-in or two with Bigfoot. And his subsequent heightened awareness and psychic ability have played out in a most interesting way in his life. So we're going to get into these subjects with him and find out everything about this, because I don't know about the Angel of Death. I mean, I've never encountered the Angel of Death myself. I hope I don't either for quite some time. But anyway, so let's bring on Dave Scott. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am excellent. I am just enjoying where I am. It's still afternoon, so it's all good because I'm on the West Coast, and that's why we broadcast so late at 1 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Pacific Time. But Spaced Out Radio has been kind of fun since we started it up.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about what how you got into this, doing the radio show, and you actually were a broadcaster previously.
Yes, I was. I spent 10 years in radio before making a career change about 7 years ago. And realistically, before that, I had always said as a kid that I wanted to see three things in life. You know, as a kid, you watch your movies, whether they're sci-fi or, you know, I grew up in a sports family, so it was all hockey in the winter, baseball in the summer, and that's pretty much where we lived. I never thought about anything paranormal, anything supernatural or extraterrestrial at that time. But I said, you know what, if there was something I could see in this world, I would love to see a ghost, a Sasquatch, and a UFO. I saw my first UFO when I was 21 years old. I was sitting on my parents' patio. It was late at night. And I've never been a drinker, so I'm going to clarify that. I'm not a drinker. I don't use any type of narcotic or anything like that. And one of the things that really spooked me, I remember one night I was designated driver for my friends who were all out, we were all out partying, got home. The nightclubs closed at 2 a.m. here. So I got home, and it was one of those nights where it was really warm. Still about 30 degrees Celsius. I am in Canada, so I go by Celsius, not Fahrenheit. And what happened was I went out on the patio because it was a real nice, clear night, and I heard a buzzing sound. And from there, I looked up kind of to my southwest, and that's where I saw an orange light. And we lived close to an airport where I was able to watch planes come and go, but I also knew that our local airport shut down its runway at midnight. So I knew it was nothing flying over our skies that was of regular origin. And from where our view was, because we lived up on a hill, we could see over towards the airport, and it was always blacked out at night, that area. You couldn't see any runway lights or anything like that. And basically what happened was I heard this sound, and it sounded like a deep buzzing sound, almost like what a C-130 Hercules military transport plane would sound like if it was way up in the sky. And I, being a little bit of a military aircraft buff in that time, was just listening to it. And then I saw the orange light. And one thing that I recognized is there was no white strobe. There was no red or blue lights flashing. It was just an orange light. And it went over top of the airport. And I watched it turn its light off. But I could still hear the sound. And then a couple seconds later, I watched it, or listened to it, turn its sound off. And boom, it was just gone. So I was like, oh, cool, man, I just saw a UFO. And it wasn't until a few years later that I worked in a haunted building where weird things used to happen in there all the time. And then I'm sure we'll get into the Sasquatch story in a little bit, but it wasn't until probably summer of 2013 that a friend of mine and I saw two Sasquatch in the forest behind his home. So I've seen quite a bit. I don't know why me. I don't know why I'm having these experiences. But this is kind of the reason why we started up Spaced Out Radio. On a selfish note, the reason why we did is because I didn't know where to turn to get the answers that I needed. And that's probably the hard one. I'm like everybody else. I've had these experiences. I don't know why I've had these experiences, but I have. And I didn't know where to turn in order to get answers for the things that I have seen or the experiences that I was having. So when we put together Spaced Out Radio in late 2014, it was one of those things where it was an opportunity for me personally to not only bring on really good guests to our show, but to bring on people who have had the same type of experiences I have had. And that way I could maybe get some answers to why I was seeing the things that I was seeing. So it's one of those things that has been very, very fun and very, very interesting as we learn to try and figure out what's going on, why are people seeing the things that we're seeing, and how can we react to them.
Right, right. No, I totally agree. And there is a lot of information out there on these things. However, nothing like encountering them personally. And so, Dave, I'd like to start with the you know, because it really began with you, all these, this high strangeness, as I call it. It really began when you encountered what you call the angel of death. So can you tell us what happened at that time?
Absolutely. Previous to that experience, I was starting to see more ghosts. My wife and I, we had an interest in seeing things and having ability and you know, getting more into it. We noticed that my wife was an empath, and just we started seeing spirit every now and again. Nothing too much. And it was really, really interesting because we had a couple of intuitive friends that we were hanging out with at that time. And we were just really trying to learn what was going on, because all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting around watching TV and you feel something in our house, or you feel something in a park or wherever you may be. But my whole life changed on December 13th, 2011. And I remember that date very well because my daughter was going on a Christmas cruise with her maternal grandparents. And so we were doing Christmas at our house a little bit earlier than that. And we had about 20 people in our house, and there was still everybody in the house. Nobody had left. It was about 7:45 at night. My parents decided that they wanted to leave. So no problem. My parents are saying their goodbyes to everybody, and I went to give my mom a hug. And my mom had been battling some health problems in the past couple of years. She had battled breast cancer. She had battled colon cancer. So she had battled a lot. Her body was pretty beat up. And I went up to give my mom a hug, and then I realized in this split second, and you got to realize this maybe lasted 1 to 2 seconds, I noticed that everybody in the house was standing still. There was no sound. There was no nothing. And I looked at my mom, and my mom has these beautiful blue eyes that God graced her with. And I looked into her eyes, and her eyes were jet black. And inside her eyes that were jet black, there was something looking at me. And I remember getting the feeling that I felt immediately in that 2 seconds, I felt absolutely sick to my stomach, and I wanted to cry. And, you know, I consider myself to be more of a manly man where you don't cry for just anything. But I had to, so all of a sudden my mom had this weird look on her face, like this stunned look. And then 2 seconds later, it was, oh, everything's normal. She came, gave me a hug. Everybody started moving around the house. I said my goodbye, and I walked to my bedroom. So my wife comes up and says, is everything okay? And I said, immediately I knew that I had seen something in my mom's eyes that I didn't like. So at about 10:45 that night, so a couple hours later, everybody had left. My wife and I light up some candles in her house. And we're sitting in our living room and just kind of chatting, and we started talking about what I had seen. And my wife kind of just said, well, why don't you just relax and see if something comes to you? So I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. I don't remember the next 38 minutes. I remember portions of it. And according to my wife, I started channeling this being. He identified himself as the angel of death. And the reason why he came back to channel through me was because he did not understand why I saw him. I was not supposed to see him. But because I saw him, he wanted to clarify what I had seen. His answers to me were the reason why he was in my mom's eyes was because he did not feel that my mom was getting enough love, attention, and support from the family, from everything that she had gone through. And my mom is a worrywart. She's one of these people who's always made things a little bit bigger than they are. And so that's kind of what we wrote most of her health issues off with. But this time, he told me, through me to my wife, as my wife was asking me questions, that he was getting ready to take my mom because he didn't feel, once again, my mom wasn't getting enough love, attention, and support from the family. And once again, I was not supposed to see him. And it was a very, very strange experience. I am thankful that I still have my mom. Immediately, I turned my attention to realize that I was taking my mom for granted, as I think a lot of people do. We take our parents for granted. We think they're going to live forever. We can never imagine life a day without them until they're gone. But this scared me, not in a fearful sort of way, but it just scared me because it opened my eyes to when I realized at that point that I had ability. And one of these abilities, it really woke me up because I didn't know what happened. I didn't know why it happened, how it happened. It just happened. So I immediately got on the phone with a clairvoyant friend of mine, explained to her what had happened, and her answer to me was, wow, that's quite an experience. I've never had that before, but welcome to the club. And that's not my only run-in with the angel of death. I ran into him again about 8-9 months later. My wife's grandmother we got called to the nursing home where she was, and she was 93 years old or 91 years old, and she was getting ready to, what I like to say, go home. And so we walked into her room, and immediately walking into her room inside the care facility where she was, I could feel him. I recognized that feeling. And being not really understanding what I was going through, I was a little cocky with it. I'm not going to lie. I was a little cocky with it, and I was basically saying, you know, what's going on here? I know you're here. Why don't you show me where you are? And I could feel him around I'm going to say it's a 12 by 12 room. I could feel him bouncing around from side to side, from corner up to corner down to behind Grandma to in front of Grandma to behind us. It was an incredible feeling because I recognized the feeling of him. And about 9 minutes before Grandma breathed her final breath, I was given one of the most amazing things that I have ever received. And for people who don't believe in God, you know what? It's an opinion that you're allowed to have. I'm okay with that. I'm not a religious guy. I don't go to church. Do I believe in God? Yes. Do I believe in angels and experiences? Yes. Do I believe in an afterlife? Yes, I do. I consider myself a very spiritual person. But what I got to see was amazing. And one of the things that I want to clarify is I'm someone who, from the time I was 18 years old and I'm 41 now, I used to have absolute panic attacks about death. Death scares me because I was always thinking, oh my God, what if there is no heaven? What if there is no hell? What if there is no God? I'm scared by this. I don't want to die. I love life. I love being here. I love where I live, where there's mountains and rivers and there's the Pacific Ocean and there's deer and there's eagles flying in the sky. I think I'm very lucky with where I live. And, you know, it scared me to the point where I would have panic attacks and all of a sudden say, I'm going out for a run because I just felt like I needed to run and I would try and run away from my problems. Except in this summertime of 2012, it was July of 2012, as I'm standing in my wife's grandma's room, 9 minutes before she breathed her final breath, I was kind of taunting the angel of death to show me where he was. I could feel him, and then all of a sudden, I'm standing at the foot of her bed, and I'm looking over her body, and I've got my wife to my right, and I'm about 6 inches from her feet, so that's how close I am to her. I watched her spirit leave her body. All of a sudden, in her chest, there was a white cloud, and in a snap of a finger, gone. I watched it leave right through the ceiling, and the feeling of the angel of death was immediately gone. And I started giggling, not in a sarcastic or mean way, but kind of like in an unbelievable way. And I whispered in my wife's ear, "She's gone." And my wife said to me, "She's still breathing. She's still breathing. She's not gone." And I said, "I just saw her spirit leave." And she looked at me. She goes, "What?" And I had this giant smile on my face because I realized right then and there that there is an afterlife, that there is a soul, that we do get taken home, wherever that home may be. For some people, it's heaven. For some people, maybe it's Shangri-La or whatever people think it is. But I got to see the soul leave the body.
Tell me what that looked like. Right, Dave, what did that look like when you saw, what did the soul look like?
You know what? It looked like just a little white foggy cloud that was sitting on her chest. And I watched it slowly come out of her chest and the full thing sitting up on her chest. And it was like he said to me, "There you go. There's the soul. Now we're gone." And boom, it shot up right through the ceiling of this hospital room. It was incredible.
Right. I bet.
And nine minutes later, she breathed her final breath, and everybody is crying in the room but me. And I am excited for her. I was excited because she was a very religious, church-going woman. She was a beautiful woman, and up until the moment she lived. You know, I entered the family, you know, we're a new age family. You know, my wife had been divorced, I'd been divorced, we're a blended family. Okay, and this lady had opened her arms to me like she had known me my whole life. I loved this woman as, you know, my own personal grandmother. And to be able to watch her soul leave her body, to be able to give me that gift that I personally needed, I will be forever indebted, because it was one of those things where I don't know if I will ever get to see it again. I know my cousin is a doctor here in Canada. He's working palliative care. He's never seen a soul leave the body. Other people
right.
that I've talked to have never seen a soul. I talked to one other person who's been on my show, okay, where he has a friend who's seen it. And that's the only other name that I've ever heard. The name escapes me because I've never met the man. But that's the only other person that I've heard of who's seen a soul leave the body. And I have not met up with the angel of death since. I have not met up with him before these two incidences. But I'll tell you one thing. I officially have zero anxiety anymore regarding death.
Right. Yeah, that's fantastic and phenomenal. And some people in the chat room have commented that they have also seen the spirit leave a body.
Oh, beautiful.
And I think that's so interesting because, we know. It's like they say, what, the soul weighs 21 grams. That's what they say, that a body's weight is 21 grams lighter than when, you know, after they die. And I find that so interesting. It's also 21 grams is also the serving of honey for a tablespoon. That's 21 grams or 21 paper cuts.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
well, there
so,
you go.
Yeah. So okay. So did you actually ever see what the angel of death looked like?
Never showed me. I knew it was a male figure. It felt very masculine, and people who felt spirit before will know what I mean when I say that it felt masculine. When the first time I channeled him, I remember I was in an intense trance with my wife, and I was staring at my wife on the other couch, and I remember watching this white spirit kind of dodge in and out from behind her. But as for what he looked like, no, I never got an official appearance of what he looked like. It was just the absolute feeling. And from what I channeled, he told me he was the angel of death.
Wow. And so in terms of channeling, now that was the first time you channeled. Have you channeled since?
Yes. Quite a few times. I haven't recently. After that experience happened, I was working with a friend of mine who's an intuitive healer, and he was really working on opening me up after this experience because he had never heard of an experience like this before, and he had helped people open up their channeling experiences from them. And we tried a bunch of different options. We tried a dark room where, if you've ever been in a pitch black room where you can't see your hand in front of your face, it is a trippy experience, and I highly recommend it for anybody who is intuitive, because once you tune in, you actually start seeing balls of energy and light start flashing around. And it got to a point where in one of our sessions when we did this, where I could actually see the outline glow of my body when I looked at it, and yet he's sitting 3 feet in front of me, and he can't see me.
Wow.
And I channeled my young son before he was born. I channeled him when he was in the womb of my wife. That was an interesting experience. It was, I don't know why he came to me, but I knew he was a boy, and I knew that he was destined to be something really cool, because I have lived what I like to call a life of disappointment, where I've always been able to get to the door to what my dreams are, but I've never been able to walk through that door. And what my son told me while I was channeling him, and he was born probably 3-4 months later, was that he was going to be fulfilling some of my goals that I wanted to fulfill but never got the opportunity to do so. Now, the one thing where I got to be careful with that is I don't want to push my dreams on him, because that's not fair. This is his life. This is his run at on Earth. And but it was an interesting experience. I also have channeled a dog, my former dog, who died of a stroke before Christmas in 2008. I had to put him down. He was my best friend, and he was a mutt. He was a Husky Lab Rottweiler cross, but he was the kind of dog where you never had to leash him. He never barked. He was never upset. And he loved to go fishing with me, because one of my hobbies is I love going fishing. And he actually showed me a picture, a beautiful picture, of him waiting for me. And where he's waiting for me was, he showed me this image where I'm standing behind him and he's sitting on a sandy beach. And when I looked in towards this lake or this pond or whatever it was, there he was standing or sitting there watching me fish while I stood in this little lake. So I know he's waiting for me on the other side. So these people who sit there and say, well, animals don't have spirits, they can't feel, they don't go to heaven, they're not waiting for us on the other side, to me, I call BS on that.
Totally.
Because I had a really close, I had a real close relationship with my dog. I have also channeled extraterrestrials, a few different species of extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not fully up to speed on what a lot of these species are, but there are hundreds of species of extraterrestrials out there. And one of the experiences I had was not very cool. It was a extraterrestrial who was very, 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 very malevolent.
Wow.
His job in life, he had a 5,000, he told, and he was very open with us. He had a 5,000-year lifespan. His job was to kill the star child inside the human. So they forget where they come from and forget their abilities. And he had spent 4,000 years on Earth hunting down star children. And he feels that my wife's daughter is a star child, and he was pestering her. And the gentleman, my friend Pascal, who was the one who was opening me up, him and Pascal had run-ins over time through previous lives. He didn't like Pascal. And he was very open about that. And he was very open in regards to the fact that he was scared of me. And which I found totally odd at that time, but he was very, very scared in regards to the fact that, and this is what I've been told, I'm not saying this is 100% truth, I'm not saying that that somebody, just because somebody else has a different experience, I'm just going by what I have been told by this spirit. Now, on Earth, I'm a 5'8¾", about 25 pounds overweight kind of a guy, right? I don't exercise. I you know, I prefer Coke over water. You know, I'm out of shape. But on that side, on the other side, the spiritual side, your soul can emit a different persona. And on the other side, what I have been told, I am much larger than what I am on this life. And I intimidated this being on the other side, which is why he was very, very scared of what I was doing and why I was talking to him. So do I believe that 100% or not? I don't know. I'm going to fall back on that I don't know answer for a lot of times here, because I don't know. The only thing I know is this is what I have been told by a being on the other side, and he was intimidated by me. Now, I'm not saying I'm a tough guy, because I'm not. I don't like fighting. I stay away from violence. I don't watch violent shows. Okay? Now, if I'm at a hockey game and I watch a good hockey fight, I'm okay with that. I like that, right? But I don't go see, I'm not one of these guys who goes seeking out violence or seeking out issues or whatever it is. I'm just someone who is absolutely normal to the fact that I try and record my experiences and what I have been told. And some of those things, like I said, some of the channelings that I've done have been really cool. I've channeled an old First Nations person. You guys call them American Indians. Up here in Canada, we call them First Nations. I channeled an old First Nations person in the basement of my house. He was pissed off that I had found him. And he was yelling at me, and he's like, "Why don't you just leave me alone? Why did you go and finish your basement? Just don't bug me. Why are you talking to me?" And my one bad habit that I have is I smoke cigarettes. And I felt him come right up to me and sniff me. And he says to me, "Do you smoke?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He goes, "Do you have a smoke? Do you have any tobacco?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Would you like me to leave you some?" He goes, "I wouldn't mind." And so I ripped up a cigarette. I put the tobacco on my windowsill. I said, "There you go, my friend. You can have that. Do as you wish. You're welcome here." And the reason why I channeled him was because we had this dark being in our house. And in our basement, our two daughters have bedrooms. And we had just finished our basement. And one of these dark beings had hooked into my daughter's room. That made her very uncomfortable. She did not want to stay in her room. And it was a brand new room. And this Indian guy who I gave the tobacco to says, after I gave the tobacco, he says, "Thank you." He goes, "Oh, by the way, that black spirit in the girl's room?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Don't worry about him. I'll take care of him."
Wow.
And within three days, there was not a sense of spirit in my basement. It was amazing.
That is amazing. So, I'm sorry about that phone ringing.
Oh, that's all
obviously,
right. I was
going
to ask if you want an answer to that.
Now,
live radio,
okay,
anything happens.
Yeah, right. So begin to tell us a little bit about the aliens that you encountered, Dave.
Okay, as I started becoming more connected in 2012, I started seeing a lot more UFOs. It got to the point where I remember we had friends over one night, and it was May of, I remember because it was close to my birthday, it was May of 2012, 2013, sorry, May of 2013, and friends came over, and it was a real beautiful spring night out, not a cloud in the sky, and I said, "Hey, why don't we put a little fire, I got one of these little fire pits, that you know, these ceramic fire pits that you can build a mini fire on, and you can put it on your patio," and I said, "Why don't we go sit out on the patio," I said, "because I'm pretty sure we're going to see some UFOs tonight," and they are very skeptical people. And they were kind of like, "Yeah, right, you know, but if you say it, probably is going to happen." And so it was just past 10 o'clock that night, not a cloud in the sky. We got the tunes blaring outside. And like I said, it's one of these warm spring nights. And we're sitting on my patio, and I'm kind of looking east and looking at my friend who's facing me, and I'm standing on the west side. And we're about 3-4 feet apart. And something just popped into my sky because we had seen a couple of meteorites fly through. We'd seen a couple of satellites. And all of a sudden, this light appeared. and there was no tail on it. Now imagine what a dumbbell looks like. We've all heard this about the cylinder UFOs that are becoming very popular out there and people seeing those cylinder UFOs. So you can take one of those, and I don't know down there, but up here they have, like, the street lights aren't white anymore. They're like an orangish yellow color. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Okay. So take that color and put that in a cylinder form. But if you make the cylinder look like a dumbbell, like if you're at the gym doing arm curls like a dumbbell, okay, at the end of the cylinder were these silver orbs connected to it. And all of a sudden one appeared. And we watched this, three of us. I said, hey, guys, there it is. There it is. There's a UFO. And my friend and his wife turned, and they looked, and we watched this fly right across the sky. At first, he's like, ah, that's a meteorite. I said, it can't be a meteorite. There's no tail to it. And it was long. Like, if you were to put your fingers up and put it in the sky, it was probably looking like it would be an inch and a half to 2 inches long. But if you get up close to that, the closer you get to it, it's going to look bigger. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So we watched this fly across the sky for about 5, 6, 7 seconds, and then it just disappeared. And we were like, and he's like, dude, how did you know that was going to happen? I'm like, I had no clue. Just a feeling I got. And we talked about it for about the next 20 minutes. And my wife had missed it because she had to went into the house to grab herself a drink or go to the bathroom or something. And so we, you know, we're chatting about it. And I said, I don't think we're done yet. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I think we should stay out here instead of going in because, I mean, we got the fire keeping us warm, so we don't need any blankets or anything, but I think we're going to see more. And sure enough, 25 minutes later, I am literally into the second sip of my first beer of the night. And the amount I drink is one beer a day. I come from a long line of alcoholics, so I really moderate my drinking because I have seen too many nightmares that involve alcohol, and that's about as personal as I'll get with it. So I consider myself more so a non-drinker, but every now and again, I like a cold beer, and it happened to be this night. So my second sip into this beer, you know when you take a sip of beer or you take a sip from a bottle, you kind of tilt your head back.
Yeah.
And as I tilted my head back, something caught my attention in the upper peripheral vision of my eyes. So I put the bottle down and I looked up above my house. And I said to my friend, I said, what the F is that? And sitting above my house, I don't know how high it was, you know, so I'm not going to be one of these people who says, yeah, that was 3,500 feet or 5,000 feet. I don't know how high it was. But what I do know is three of us looked up when I said, what the F is that? Three of us looked up, and above my house was a lit-up triangle with the same orange cylinders connected by the same silver orbs. And we watched it fly north. It was flying slow. It was flying straight. And there's not a cloud in the sky. And we watched this triangle fly into nothing. It would be like a door opened up in the sky, and this triangle flew into it. It's not like 1 second it was there and the next second it was gone. Not like that at all. We watched it fly slowly, like someone opened up a door, it flew into the door, and as it started flying into the door, it started disappearing until it was finally through that door, and then like the door closed. And poof, it was gone.
Right.
And we watched this thing for about 20 seconds, 20, 30 seconds. And we were like, that screwed me up. Because in my world, you know, I was brought up, there's a God, there's a devil, there's a heaven, there's a hell. Good people go up, bad people go down. But what I wasn't explained was, what do you do when there is a triangle over top of your house lit up and you watch it fly into a piece of the sky and disappear. It wasn't like it was all of a sudden lights are on and then like a light switch turn the lights off and everything goes back to normal. It wasn't like that. We watched it start from the beginning. So if you look at a triangle, you put the one silver orb at the front, it disappeared. Then the next row disappeared. Then the next row disappeared. Then the next row disappeared. And it was gone. I don't know how to explain that.
Right. But Dave, then you had a closer encounter.
I noticed leading up to that encounter, I noticed that I was seeing a lot more UFOs. My wife and I would see a lot more UFOs around. And it got to the point where anytime I wanted to see one, I would see one. We started hanging out with these friends who were very connected. And as I was still learning about my abilities. And they have a 10-acre farm. Their street is so rural, they're one of two houses on their street. So they have 10 acres, their neighbor has 6 acres, and to the east of the neighbor is forest. To the north of both these houses is a thick forest. And the more we started hanging out there, the more we started having experiences. It started with spirits. It started with a lot of interesting things where all of a sudden you would be at dusk or in the night, you'd go outside on a nice night to see if you can find anything. And, you know, you would see all of a sudden ripples of light going through the trees and the tree line. And it was really cool. And so one night, we're sitting around, and my wife is there, our newborn son is there, and friends of ours are there as well. And I'm sitting on their couch, and I get this weird headache. The headache, if you can imagine, was a shape-shifting headache. It started off in the front of my head where it felt like a square, where all the angles of the square, my face was hurting, my forehead was hurting. And then after a few minutes, that subsided, but I noticed it went to the right side of my head, where it was now in the shape of a triangle. And then a few minutes later, it moved over to the left side of my head, where it was in the shape of a circle. And everything is pulsating in a painful, painful way. I'm someone who suffers from migraines. So I thought, wow, this is the weirdest migraine I'm getting. And I remember saying to my wife, I'm getting a migraine here. And it's weird. Then after it circled on the left side of my head, I got this message, come outside now. And this is about 10:30 at night. The ceiling from the clouds is maybe 200-300. It's a very misty, wet type of night and very uncomfortable. So I said to my friend's wife, I said, you and I, because she is very psychic, I said, you and I need to go outside right now. My wife says to me, cool, can I get my shoes on? I said, you can't come. And I would never speak to my wife that way. She's invited everywhere I go. Okay? So my friend says to her husband, hey, get your shoes on. Dave's picking up something. We should go outside. And I said, no, he can't. She looks at me and she goes, why not? I said, he's not invited. Why would I say that to somebody on their own property? That was something weird to me. So we go outside into the back of their yard, and behind their yard they got about 5 acres of open land before the forest hits. And in between their property and the neighbor's property is about 150-foot wide stretch of really thin maple trees. So we walk to the back of the house where they have a fence line, and we're standing by this fence line. And in the same volume I'm saying to you, I said, okay, you called us outside with peace, love, and light. Can you please show me where you are? And from the neighbor's backyard, through the trees that separates the both properties, the entire property lit up like a Christmas tree. in the brightest white light I have ever seen. It's like being up close to a Las Vegas sign if you're on Las Vegas Boulevard. It lit up white. And the one thing I remember how bright that white light was, it was beautiful, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. I could look at it. You know, normally when you see something that bright, you're squinting because it's hurting your eyes. My eyes were wide open. My friend who I was with, her eyes were wide open because I said to her, I said, are you seeing this? She goes, yeah, that's absolutely incredible. Like, oh my God. And I'm like, this is weird. This light was about, like, it lit up everything. It lit up the clouds. It lit up the trees. It lit up everything. The light stayed on for about 30 seconds, and then it went off. And I remember my friend saying, should we go over there? And I said, no. I want to stay right where I am. So I said, thank you for turning on your light. I said, if you are of alien descent, can you turn your lights back on again? And as soon as I said the word again, boom, lights come back on. This time, the bright white light was wider. It was brighter. It was shining far more distant than what it was the first time. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I started looking to see where this light was coming from. Because as a journalist that I was for 10 years, I get a lot more questions than I do answers. So for every answer I get or experience I have, I probably have 100 to 1,000 questions because I want to know, and I want to know right now. It's the anxiety in me that makes me very curious on what is happening. So I start walking to my right to try and find a path through the trees that I can see where this light is emanating from, because I want to make sure that it's not somebody with one of these very powerful candlewatt flashlights who is, you know, maybe walking through the trees or trying to light it up or whatever it is. And I find a path to where the light is emanating from through the trees. And I'm only about 200 yards from this, which is a very close distance. And I'm looking at this through the trees. I finally got my vision through the trees. And in between the trees, I see this giant vertical blue cylinder that is sitting upright where all this white light's coming from. The weird part about it is it was like the white light was surrounding everything, but it was coming from this cylinder. And at the bottom of this beautifully blue neon cylinder, there was a black cloud that was rotating counterclockwise on it. So after about 30, 40 seconds, the light goes off again. So I said, thank you. And my friend and I are kind of looking at each other like, this is trippy. Like, I cannot believe this is happening. So I said, she goes, well, see if it'll do it one more time. So I said, just in the same volume, like I'm not screaming it. I'm saying it just like I'm talking to you and your audience. I said, excuse me, I'm just trying to recall this because I'm replaying this in my head. I said to the object, I said, just so I know that we are not crazy, can you please turn your light on one more time? And the light came on again, and I could still see the blue cylinder. And I remember asking my friend if she could see the blue cylinder. At this point, she could. And then the light started strobing. And it strobed 8, 9, 10 times before it went off. We heard no sound. We heard no wind. We heard nothing whooshing. And the light was off after about 25, 30 seconds again. And I tried, like, come on, can you turn it on one more time? I have to see this again. And we waited and waited, and it would not turn the light back on. So we turned around to try and walk back to the house. And you got to realize it's very low cloud cover because they live up on a mountain. Very low cloud cover, about 200, 300 foot ceiling. And peeking through the clouds as we turned around, my friend says, "Hey, look at that." And we could see one of those orange lights that I saw as I was 21 years old, my first UFO experience, one of those orange lights sitting, peeking through the clouds. And as we're watching this, and as it starts to pull its way back into the cloud, we see the white light that we saw down below ripple through the clouds, and all of a sudden both lights were off. It was an amazing experience. I went back there the next night to try and figure out to see if it would happen again. There was a little bit of activity, but nothing too much that's really worth evaluating. 4 days after that, I went back. I had a day off from my regular daytime job, and I went over there, and a psychic friend of mine, who's now a friend, I'd met her for the first time that day. We walked into that back field, and it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We walk into that back field, and I'm trying to figure out where this light source was sitting in the neighbor's property. And she was picking up some things. And they, like I said, this is a rural area. I had my 2 dogs there. I used to bring my dogs over there to run around and get some exercise, and my friend who owned the farm, they had 2 dogs as well. So my friend who I was walking through the field with, her name is Samantha Mowat. She's been a guest on Spaced Out Radio talking about her ET contact experiences. She was hanging out, and she was walking through the field with me, and we were trying to figure out, and she was picking up on the energy. And in behind the farm, there is these giant trees. And it's like a wall of trees that are about 100 feet high, like big, big trees. So Samantha says to me, "I'm being called into the forest. Would you like to go in there?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, "I don't know how anything there is going to react if we got the dogs with us." And she goes, "Well, let's just go check it out." So we walk towards the forest. The dogs are running probably 30, 40 feet ahead of us. And the dogs go into the forest area, and we enter the forest area. And as we start to enter, we probably get about 100 feet in. And we realize that the dogs are gone. We don't know where the dogs went. The dogs just, like, disappeared. They were gone. Now, I'm not saying they got taken or anything like that, but we had a dog, when they're free, they won't, at least my dogs, will never be dogs that are kind of lagging behind. So we looked behind us, could not see the dogs. We looked all around us, could not see the dogs. So we thought that was kind of odd. And then we continued to walk forward. And as we walked forward, we came to an opening in a forest, because the beautiful part about a forest is it only looks thick from the outside, but when you walk into a forest, there's usually openings. So we walk to this opening, and I look straight ahead, and my friend Samantha is looking straight ahead, and she goes, hey, wait, look there. And we look straight ahead, and we were about 200 feet away, straight ahead, from an extraterrestrial.
And what did it look like, Dave?
The being that I saw was about 12 feet high, 10 to 12
Jeez.
Feet high. No exaggeration. It did not have arms. It did not have legs. I don't even know if it was an extraterrestrial. Maybe it was part of the ship. I don't know. It was a milky, light tan colored with like brown spots on it, almost like a giraffe would look like in the summertime. That type of, I'm not saying the shape of a giraffe, so think that. I'm just saying the color tone of a giraffe. And as we watched it, it was tall, lean, and then it's like its neck was leaning over, and you could see what I perceived as a head at the end of this arch that was going over. Maybe it was a neck. I don't know. But there was no arms, didn't see any legs. And my friend Samantha, who is a heck of a lot more clairvoyant and a heck of a lot better at this than I am, saw a completely different being. She saw about a 5-foot-tall gray guy, except the gray guy was in the same tan color. So as her and I are talking about this, we're both describing this tan being. And we stared at it for about 15 minutes. And I would love to say that I, you know, I had my iPhone on me. I could have taken a picture. I did not. Okay. I didn't, to be honest with you, when you see something that extraordinary, the last thing you're thinking of is taking a photo. I was absolutely dumbfounded. I remember every feeling of that moment when that happened. Because when you see something and you have something that life-altering, whether it's a car accident, whether it's seeing someone pass away, whether it's winning the lottery or whatever have you, you remember those experiences. Like if you've had children, you remember that entire experience. I've had two, I know. Okay? This was exact same. I remember every experience of that day, how I felt, the emotion that was running through my body. I felt fear. I was not scared, but I felt fear. Fear in the fact that I did not know or could not comprehend what I was seeing. And then it started to change color from the light milky tan. It went to it's like it tanned itself and went to a darker, like a dark leather brown couch type color. And we watched it. My friend Samantha then says, you know what? Let's leave these guys be. I'm being called to a different part of the force. I want to see if you can pick them up because she's now training me in order to make contact. So I said, okay. So we said goodbye to these creatures, literally waved at them, as silly as that sounds, because I don't know what else do you do when you say goodbye.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We walked to a different part of the forest, still no dogs around. And you know that feeling where you see something move out of the corner of your eye and then you look and it's not there?
Yeah.
Well, this is happening all around the forest in front of us. And we are about 100 feet from where we saw the extraterrestrials. And she goes, how many do you feel? She goes, tell me the first number that comes into your head. And it was 5. I said, I feel 5. She goes, well, I'm picking up about a dozen. And sure enough, like you could feel the eyes on you. You could see things out of the corner of your eye moving, and then all of a sudden you turn and all of a sudden you just see the little branch moving or the little leaf moving or whatever, and you're thinking, trying to write that off. Well, that could be the wind. That could be, you know, a bird flying through, and that's what I'm thinking. We saw nothing after that. So after about 10 minutes there, we walked back to the original spot. I said, let's go see if those other guys are here. And we walk back to the original spot. She goes, if they're there, she goes, you know they'll let us walk up to them. And I said, I ain't doing that. I'm not ready for that. Right? She goes, come on. They're not going to hurt us. She goes, I'll be with you. I'll help you. And I'm like, I'm not ready for it. So we went back to the original spot, stood where we were, and we're gone. And so we turned back to walk towards the house, and all of a sudden the dogs came forward from where they were. And now we had the 4 dogs with us as we were walking back towards the farm from the forest.
Right,
it was like
right.
These beings told the dogs, go away. You're not supposed to be here. And the dogs listened.
Yeah. Wow. We haven't even gotten into the Bigfoot encounters you've had, but you gotta wonder, Dave, what is it about you? As you started out
early,
you don't know. But
I don't know.
It's incredible. Usually people don't even have one of these experiences, and you seem to have a whole slew of them. And once again, I just want to tell people we're talking to Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio, and Spaced Out Radio show is on every night, Dave?
We broadcast every night. I broadcast Monday through Friday, and my weekend host for Spaced Out Weekend, his name is James Tyson. He broadcasts Saturday and Sunday night, which we focus more on the paranormal side.
Right. Okay, so it is on every single night. Good. That's what I thought. And it's a fantastic show. I mean, obviously, you are so into this stuff, and you're getting great guests on. And I really applaud you for that. And it's not easy to get great guests on, I realize, you know. But so now we're going to take like just like a minute break here. And when we come back, I still have more questions about the alien encounters. And I'm wondering, do you have any plans to try to record things in the future with your with these encounters?
You know what? I'll get in. That's a long-winded answer. I'll get into that as soon as we finish the break. How about that?
Okay. Okay. So we will be back, and we'll ask Dave Scott some more questions, and be back in just a minute. Thanks for tuning in, you guys.
Habit. I'm not a poet. I'm just a guy bumming cigarettes. I don't have the talent, just the habit. From The Iceman Cometh by Eugene O'Neill. Yes, I have the habit of believing when there's nothing left to believe in. I have the habit of hope, a little scared rabbit in the face of an owl. I have that habit. Poetry is everywhere, and an overpainted woman at the bar telling me her lover burns her with cigarettes, and the loved one who doesn't recall what year it is, and the Spanish boy who carries a knife in his jeans to feel like a man. We are poetry, all. We have the habit. Skywriting, soul-searching, sick leave. Fusion, futile, fear-mongering, faceless. We are a bundle of nerves waiting for victory in a place without shelter and no reprieve.
Visit purpleplates.com today. For over 40 years, the Purple Energy Plates have been delivering amazing results for their many customers. Inspired by the great genius Nikola Tesla, the harmony, healing, and energetic effects of the plates have proven over and over to be beneficial and often miraculous to thousands of customers. With their money-back guarantee and the many benefits, how can you afford not to get one? Check their site for daily specials and choose from their many energy products. You won't be sorry. Visit them today at purpleplates.com for mind, body, and spirit. And expect a miracle.
Okay, and that was just a little poem of mine that I read earlier, a minute ago. And, okay, so we are talking with Dave Scott from Spaced Out Radio. And we have covered some amazing experiences of Dave's. And so let's talk about, are you going to try to set up some cameras and recording equipment in the future, Dave?
You know what? My answer to that is no. And I know a lot of people will say, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? If you're having these experiences, why don't you? And my answer is simple. Whoever is giving me these, or whatever is giving me these experiences, the one thing that I want to do is I want to protect that privacy that they're allowing me to see. And whether it's the Sasquatch I've seen, whether it's the ETs, the UFOs, I'm not looking to make money off of this. I'm not looking for my 15 minutes of fame. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking to be an anomaly or the butt end of a joke for some people who are skeptic or non-believers. This is for me. And I respect that. One of the things that before I started having the ET and UFO experiences back in April of last year, I had a dream one night, and I'm someone who does not remember my dreams very often, if at all. And I had a message to me, and this is kind of funny, but it actually makes a lot of sense. I was told point blank to focus on extraterrestrials and UFOs. But I was told, do not join any groups. Stay away from MUFON. Stay away from, like in British Columbia where I live, stay away from UFO BC. Stay away from Sasquatch BC or any forums or websites concerning ghosts. Don't join any paranormal groups. Nothing. Don't read books. Don't surf the internet for information. However, there was a however with that. They said to me, I could watch YouTube videos. And to me, that sounded strange. Why watch YouTube videos? But their answer was simple to me. Because they said I would be able to tell what is real and what is fake. And I went with that. And it was a month after that I had my close encounter. And a few days after that I saw the extraterrestrial. And it's something that I have gone by. And the way I look at it is, I'm not saying I have a gift. I'm not saying that I have an ability or that I'm better than anyone else or worse than anyone else or that I'm seeing things or hallucinating or whatever. But the one thing that I do want to do is I do want to respect the ability of what they have given me to see so far, whomever they are. So that is why I will not videotape or try to record or set up cameras. Now, I've been asked to. I had a friend of mine in Ontario actually send me a camera, and he said, set it up, see what you pick up. I have not done that yet. I don't feel it's right.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. I really do. And many people wouldn't have that stance. But, you know, it makes a lot of sense, and certainly it's something to be admired. Now, okay, so when you, no, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call them, where did this take place when you encountered, you said two of them, I think.
Yeah, I saw two of them within 25 feet of each other. And go back to my friend's farm where I had the UFO experience. We were back in the forest one day because we were just checking things out. And we walked about 200-300 yards in to the forest, and we came across a tree that was snapped at about 8 feet high. And the friend who I was with, he's about 6'3", so he's a tall gentleman. And I'm being 5'8", you know, it was quite high. And this was a tree that was probably, I don't know, I'm going to say a foot around, maybe a foot and a half around in diameter. And it was just weird because it looked fresh. And all the trees around there were standing, and it was right in the middle of the forest. It's not like it was on the edge of the forest where big wind can get it. And, yeah, we thought about that. We stood there, and we thought about it. And as we were looking around, I remember saying to my friend, I said, you know what? It feels like we're being watched. And he goes, yeah, I'm picking that up too. So we started looking around, and we saw something peering around a tree. And it was probably 110 feet from us, and it was peering around a tree. And it would peer out from the tree and then duck back in, peer out of the tree, duck back in, and then it would peer out, and then it would hide part of its face, but you could still see like a shoulder behind the tree. And I said, hey, that looks like a Sasquatch. And he goes, yeah, it does. And it kept peering at us and peering at us. And we, in my area of British Columbia, and I live in the southwest part of British Columbia near Vancouver, okay, Sasquatch in the First Nations areas around here from British Columbia straight down to California, there is a large amount of sightings annually. Whether you're in British Columbia, you're in Washington State around Mount St. Helens, whether you're in California around Bluff Creek where the famous Patterson-Gimlin film was filmed. And we were watching this. And we're watching this thing peer behind the tree. We could make out the face because I remember my friend and I, we were talking, okay, there's its eyes, there's the shoulder, there's the side of the head, okay, there's the nose, there's the mouth, very cool. And it kept peering in and out. So we watched it for a couple of minutes, and then we didn't want it to get agitated because we wanted to make sure it felt comfortable. And being spiritual people, we said thank you, and we started to turn and walk away. And as I'm turning, I notice out of the corner of my eye, I see this branch on this tree that's even closer start moving. And we're talking maybe 75 feet away from us. And I stopped to look at that branch because there was no wind. And this is, you know, and you can tell the difference between a branch swaying and a branch being shaken. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And this was definitely being shaken. This branch is going up and down, up and down, up and down, about that fast. And as I watched this branch, I watched this giant torso walk right through where that branch was shaking. And it was thick, it was dark brown, with the biggest torso, widest torso I've ever seen, with the pointed head, slanted face. And I said to my buddy, I said, did you see that? I said, there was another one. And he goes, no. He goes, I just turned. And I said, well, there's two of them. And the way he is he's one of these guys where nothing bothers him. No, he's never too high. He's never too low. He's a very even-keeled guy. He goes, oh, man. He goes, that's awesome. He goes, well, let's leave them be because I don't want anybody knowing that they're here. Let's let them have their space and be thankful that they chose this area that they feel safe in order to do it. So we walked out of the forest. A few nights later, we were kind of doing a perimeter walk because they have a lot of spiritual activity around their house. That's when we heard it roar. And the roar was like a shrieking, yelling roar type roar that it's nothing I've ever heard. I mean, I've been to the zoo. I've been on YouTube. I've listened to what lions and cougars and bears sound like. This sounded nothing like the sort. It was
it was so
loud and so shrieking that it almost sounded like it was coming right through your skin. It was that powerful.
Now, I've heard some clips of Bigfoot moans, and it is unlike anything. I mean, you know, it's just really
Absolutely. Creepy.
So, Dave, you weren't scared when you saw these creatures?
No, I was not scared. And I don't know why. Maybe it was the majesty of them. Maybe it was the sight that once again you're seeing something that is not supposed to exist according to mankind. Okay, but Sasquatch, Bigfoot, whatever you want to call them, in Dave Scott's world, they are as real as walking into a Walmart and going shopping.
More real.
Yeah, it was, you know, and like I said, I mean, once again, you know, I got to ask, well, didn't you have your phone with you? Yeah. Didn't you think about taking a picture? Well, by the time I thought about it, it was gone.
Now,
there was no time.
Did these Bigfoot see you?
Oh, yeah, they knew we were there.
Okay,
What
were they doing with the tree trunks?
Well, legend has it that what Sasquatch will do is they will pick trees in order to create either to feed off of insects, either to grab food from the branches to help make shelter. You know, by breaking off a tree, grabbing, like, if you got a Douglas fir type Christmas tree where you break off the branches because they're soft, they're good for bedding, okay? Or they chew on the bark. And there were strips of bark missing from that tree that had been torn down.
Okay, so they're kind of like, in a sense, marking their territory, perhaps, too.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? It was a great, you know what? I'm very thankful that I got to see that. Very thankful that I got to see that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would love to encounter a Bigfoot, but I'm surprised, you know, not a lot of encounters, but I'd say most of them, the Bigfoot seems to get irritated with the human beings being there and they'll be chased
I have a theory of that, though. See, my theory is this. I don't think, and this is where I get a little bit weird, okay? I don't think Sasquatch is from here. A lot of First Nations legend and lore says Sasquatch is a shapeshifter. I live in an area that is very highly concentrated with First Nations people. And in my daytime job, which I will not mention what it is, I deal with a lot of First Nations people. And I will always ask them about Sasquatch. And one of the things that they will always say is that Sasquatch, if it knows, because it's a very highly intelligent being, if it knows that you're there to respect it, it will show you. The main reason why a lot of white people have not seen it, and most First Nations people have, is because First Nations people, they respect Mother Earth. They are tied to the earth with their legends, with their stories, with the, you know, with the hunting. They you know, during that period of time, they didn't overfish. They didn't overhunt. They only took from the land what the land was willing to give them. And Sasquatch, right, being a land animal, it respects that. That's why Sasquatch is so much a very, very important figure in, I know, in my area, in the First Nation community. I have a very good friend of mine who is First Nations. His brother lives in a house way up in the mountains. He has a family of Sasquatch that come and visit him every summer.
Right? Right. Yeah.
And we are actually going out this summer to go do a Sasquatch hunt. Now, a friend of mine, this friend who is First Nations, he's never seen one. His entire family has. He has not. Mm. So we're going out onto his reservation, and we are going to go into the mountains, into the woods, where there's a lot of bears, a lot of cougars, and we're going to go out one night in the middle of the night, and we're going looking for Sasquatch. We're going to bring a peace offering, because Sasquatch is a very, in my opinion, and I could be 100% wrong, I do not believe the scientific theory of it, that Sasquatch is the missing link, or that Sasquatch is just an animal that we haven't discovered yet. I think Sasquatch is a shapeshifter, and that's why a lot of white people do not see the Sasquatch, because of the fact that Sasquatch has the ability to manipulate its being.
Hmm. Right, and I've heard that many times. Also, you know, interdimensional being.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely,
we talked, Dave, you mentioned that there are not a lot of female Bigfoot out there, and that's why they have taken Native American women or girls. Can you kind of explain that?
You can read up in my area. In my area, there is a First Nation called the Chehalis First Nation. Chehalis spelled C-H-E-L-A. Hold on. Chehalis. C-H-E-H-A-L-I-S. Chehalis. Okay? You can Google it, and you can Google the story of Chehalis Indian woman taken by Sasquatch or Bigfoot. In the 1930s, there was a young lady who was taken from her tribe. She was kidnapped by a Sasquatch while she was out picking berries for her family. And this being took her. She was gone for 4 months before one of the tribe's warriors went and found her in a cave. In that 4 months that she was gone, she had forgotten her language. She had forgotten where she came from. She did not know how to get home. She was speaking a different tongue, which was what they call Sasquatch language. And this Sasquatch came back, saw the First Nations warrior taking her, kidnapping her back, and chased them back to the village. Through this river called the Chehalis River, he threw the girl in the canoe, and he starts paddling downstream to get as quick as back to the village as possible. And this Sasquatch is swimming after him, trying to get his wife back, so to speak. And that Sasquatch terrorized that entire community for about a month, trying to get his wife back before it finally disappeared.
Wow.
So First Nation, it is a true story. I have met this lady's cousin. She has now passed away, but her cousin was still alive when I talked to her about 5 years ago about it, when we were talking about the story, and she said, oh, that's my cousin that happened to. She goes, I know the lady well. It was true. The story is true. And you can read up on that online. It is a very well-documented case here in British Columbia. And the reason why they take First Nations women is because they are so connected to Earth. Okay? You and me, as Caucasian people, or if you took African American or Spanish people, we're not that dedicated. We have different beliefs. We have different religion. We have different scientific evidence that we feel that we have to put science ahead of absolutely, and our religious beliefs ahead of everything. First Nations people are not like that. They are very much in tune with Earth. They take what the Earth gives them, and they don't take more than what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is why, because they are more connected to Earth, more connected to the land, the area, the surroundings, that they are chosen by Sasquatch over, say, you know, Jill Sixpack, who happens to be camping with a friend out in the forest while going fishing one weekend.
Right, right.
Because it's a spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, you know, so the woman, was she happy with the Bigfoot or what? You know, we don't know, right?
She was very, put it this way, she wasn't ready to come back. She tried leaving. They had to hold her there. It was like her memory had been erased. And it wasn't until, I believe, that she, and I don't believe it was, it wasn't until she saw her family that she kind of started remembering where she came from.
Wow. And, you know, of course, many times we've heard that Bigfoots are, you know, intuitive, psychic, they speak to people,
yes,
without actually opening their mouth and things like that. Now, I asked you if you thought there was any connection between aliens and Bigfoot.
I think there is. I have heard and read stories that Bigfoot does come from another planet, that they were brought here after there was problems on their own planet. Now, I know that sounds far-fetched. I'm not sure if I truly believe that. However, when you open your mind to the possibility, and the way I am now with the experiences that I have had personally, you know, that I'm just kind of almost accepting of everything, you know, I think the theory that it's possible that Bigfoot came here from another planet. People have reported seeing Bigfoot near UFOs when UFOs land on Earth. Or there have been Bigfoot sightings shortly after a UFO sighting. So I do believe that there is something to that, that one, in one way or another, that they are tied together.
Right. Yeah, there does seem to be a correlation between the two, whether Bigfoot is an alien or not. I mean, there does seem the sightings, often run into each other. So very interesting.
Yeah.
So is there anything else? We have just about 8 minutes left. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up that I haven't brought up?
You know what? I'll answer that this way. People need to be a little bit more open-minded to possibility. And that's the only thing I ask. Like, for your listeners and the people in your chat room tonight who are probably chatting, wondering if I'm full of shit, pardon my language, or full of crap, or there's no way that I've seen that, or I don't believe that. I'm okay with that. But the one thing that I can tell you is, I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to go on. I have no idea why these experiences have happened to me. I don't know why I've seen Sasquatch or seen UFOs or come in contact with an extraterrestrial being. I don't know why. But the one thing that I do know is about 90% of these experiences that I have had witnesses with me. I've been very fortunate that way. I'm not one of these people who's been able to say, okay, by the way, I got taken by aliens last night and and they worked on me. Well, was anybody there? No, I didn't see anybody. Nope, nobody was home. Whether we've seen UFOs in the daytime, whether we've seen UFOs at night, my wife or someone around me has always been there. And the one thing that I also want people to know is I'm a genuinely boring person. You know, I like watching my football. I like watching my hockey, my baseball. Okay, I don't play any sports anymore. My body's too beat up for that. I've never traveled anywhere. The furthest east I've ever been was I had a layover stop in Newark, New Jersey at the airport before flying to a friend's house in Pittsburgh. Who goes to Pittsburgh for vacation? Well, I do because I am boring. Okay, I've never been to Mexico. I've never seen blue ocean water. I've never seen a shark. I lived on Vancouver Island in British Columbia for 2 years. I think I'm the only person who ever lived on the island that never saw a whale in the wild. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't do a lot of stuff. I don't live an exciting life. I have my wife, my family. I go to work in the morning, and I play a little bit of radio host at night. That is my life. I don't have enough time in the day to do anything. And, you know, and like everybody out there, whether you're in Canada or the United States, you know, I live off a budget too. I have a mortgage to pay. I have vehicle payments to pay. I got to pay for my hydro, my cable. You know, I'm not somebody out there who's a weekend warrior doing Tough Mudder contests or you know, paintballing or whatever. I'm boring. I truly am a boring person. You know, but the one thing that is not boring is the experiences that I've had. And with those experiences, you know, that's why Spaced Out Radio was created. I shared some experiences with a gentleman named Johnny Enoch, and you can check out his website at metaphysicalsource.com. And Johnny and I became friends in August of 2014. In September 2014, late August, he asked me because I had radio experience, he asked me if I would host his UFO conference that he held in Vancouver. And I said, yeah, absolutely I will. Absolutely. And so I hosted the UFO conference. He knew about my radio experience, and he's like, dude, we got to get you back on the radio. With the experiences you've had, he goes, we definitely have to get you back on the radio. And put it this way, I'm so boring, I didn't even know what Blog Talk Radio was. I'd never heard of Blog Talk Radio.
That's
right?
Not being boring, though.
No, but you know what? Put it this way. If it's not a couple of sports websites, if it's not YouTube, I'm not really on the internet. Right? Like, I don't do a lot in my life. But the one thing that I do know is I have no reason to lie. Just like a lot of people who are listening, who've had experiences, maybe they've had paranormal activity in their house. Maybe they've had, you know, seen their garden gnomes running around, coming to life and running around their yard in the middle of the night. You know, who am I to say that that didn't happen?
Right.
Because
right.
In the realm of everything that exists, we're nobodies. Everybody
right.
is a somebody, but we're all nobodies. And it's people who come out and criticize and put down and try and scuttle absolutely everything that we say who are the ones who are afraid.
No, totally. The show's going to end in about 30 seconds, but I just want to once again tell people that we have interviewed Dave Scott tonight, and I appreciate your time, Dave, and all of your amazing stories. And who's on the show tonight, your show tonight? Do you know?
Tonight we have Brian Seach. He is a ufologist, and he deals with a lot of weird stuff. Jim Tyson will be hosting the show tonight. It'll be a real good one. I'm taking Monday and Tuesday off, and I'll be back on Wednesday because baseball opens up. I'm a giant baseball fan, and we're talking haunted baseball stadiums with Dan Gordon on Wednesday night.
Cool. Okay, thanks, you guys, for joining us. And, Dave, I will see you later at your show. Again, it's Spaced Out Radio Show on the BTR Network at 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you guys for listening. Have an excellent night.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.